that are just, we're just treading water. We're just hanging on till our safety comes and pulls us up. I'm going to use the text tonight, be prepared for the battle. Be prepared for the battle because it's coming. And the reason that we are part of a body of Christ, and he's the head and we are the members, many members, and at times each and every one of us are going to go through some things. And other times we're going to be on top of the world. And as I'm getting ready to deliver my soul here, I'll be in Ephesians, the sixth chapter. I'll start at verse 10. So when I was young and my parents pastored Little Rock Church for about right at 16 years, and I was young, and I had some cousins and some friends and in Dogwood Hills, and I learned a song that says, I learned a song that talks about David fighting Goliath or facing Goliath, and he said, it's a battlefield, brother, a fight and not a game. This is not a game. If it's a game and you're having just a woo-hoopy hoopty time with this, we haven't got under that, you know, we just haven't got harnessed up to where we need to be. So I'm telling you, we got to be prepared for things that are going to come, that are going to try to knock us off of our feet, things that are going to try to break us down. You're going to go through things that you don't understand. And if I can just pray one thing with you, is Lord, help me to understand the things that I can't change. It's a hard thing to do, is to understand why I can't change some of the things that's happened, you know, in my life, in my friend's life, in my church family's life. I can't understand sometimes some of the things that happen. And I'm reminded daily, I got a coworker that reminds me daily, that God's got us. He's got us. There's walking in the will of God, and then there's walking in the perfect will of God. You know, and that's where I want to be. I want to be in the perfect will of God. I want to be right in the center of where he wants me and where he wants to keep me and where he wants me to stand. All right? Heavenly Father, as I come and bring this word, I pray, God, that for the anointing. I pray, God, that it just sinks down into our spirit and we know and realize that you are so good to us. Help me with this, Lord. Help me with this, Lord. Help me help somebody tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so be prepared for the battle. And Ephesians, you got to understand, Paul was fighting the beast at Ephesus, and while he was there, he was dealing with demonic things and things that you and I didn't see, but we're seeing today. We're seeing it today. Homosexuality and perversion—it's not new. It's really not. It's been around for a long time. The reason that hell hath enlarged herself is because the hearts of men are wicked, and they do wicked things, and they do things that are an abomination to God in his sight. It's a stench, and you know what? We're all doing it. Now we're in a world and society where we have churches ordaining and same-sex marriages, and I don't even want to be friends with you. I'm telling you right now, I don't even want to be friends with you if you attend one of those weddings. I just don't want to be. I don't want to be friends with you. I got family that's in that lifestyle. I love them. I love them, but I know that this much, they know what they're doing. They've been taught all their life that's not right. We can't throw them in the trash. We got to love them. We got to love them. And sometimes it's hard to love some people. I know you all are difficult loving on me sometimes. I know, but I make it that way. So Paul was fighting this battle at Ephesus, and he's talking to us about the duty of children and our life warfare. And Ephesians, the sixth chapter, verse number 10, I want you to understand something with me. We all have, I have family that are so deceived and try to smear right up in our face as Christians that the things that just we don't understand. And I understand that we have people here that are touched by it every day. And my heart bleeds. My heart prays. My heart weeps. I want deliverance. No matter whose kid it is, I want deliverance for those individuals. And we think about the drug addicts, and we think about, I used to tell my kids all the time, I told them all the time that we would see the perversion. We'd see people shacked up, the adulterous and adulterer, they're going to the same place as the homosexual. And you know what, kids, if you steal gum from your mom, you're stealing. You're going to the same place. I used to tell them that. I tried to scare the hell that was in their lives away from their lives, because we had it all around us. But when I was a young preacher, this scripture brought to me, and it brought life to me. Finally, my brethren, I'm just going to teach a little while. This is a teaching moment. Finally, my brethren, be strong where? In the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, I preach this scripture a lot of times. Tonight it's different. We're dealing, some of us are dealing. Are you going through some battles, Sister Paula, Sister Aunt Judy? You going through some battles? You got some children out there and some stuff going on, Sister Anita? See, we're going through some battles, and we got to stay strong. And how do we stay strong? You put on the whole armor of God. We got to be prepared. I admire. I absolutely. I admire Sister Brown, how she lost a son, how she lost her husband, and how she continues on to march in this warfare and to get up here and sing songs. I have so much to be thankful for. You know, sometimes you go through some battles and you wonder, well, how in the world can I be thankful in this? I think about Brother Larry and his loss. I understand some of the things that we go through, and I think, how in the world can they hang on and be going through the old valleys that they're going through? How do they do it? Because they got the whole armor. The whole armor of God. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on what? The whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And they're real. They're real. Today, someone took their life. Wiles of the devil. Today, someone robbed a bank. Wiles of the devil. Today, someone was murdered. Wiles of the devil. Today, someone OD'd. Wiles of the devil. Today, somebody done some things. Yesterday, we got a call. The call came over that I just shot my sister and my mom. And if the police show up, I'm going to shoot them. And so as we're going there, of course, me, I don't know what my boys are doing. We're driving not slow, and we're getting there. Most people run from gunfight, and we're silly. We run towards it. Bring it. God gives me the strength every day. Guess what? It was a bogus call. It turns out we're gonna figure out who did it, because he's sending... nudes of young girls to these teenage girls that live at this house, and they met him. You need to watch your kids and those gamers out there, guys. I said, the wiles of the devil. And he's not just stealing souls through games of kids. He's doing it with adults every day. Demonic. Technology will increase. Wisdom, knowledge, not wisdom. Knowledge will increase, according to the word. And people get smarter and smarter and smarter. What do you do? Well, here's what you do. Here's how you do it. You do the best you can. You follow the Lord's leading. You keep them. You raise them in the hayfield in the summer. You raise them in the woods in the winter. Hear me? Yes, let them play ball. Let them learn responsibility. Whenever you play ball, you learn, I'm responsible for this right here. When Sister Brown's son was kicking field goals, he was responsible to kick that ball through them uprights. And, man, he could a long ways, too. I mean, he could. And I watched him several times. then you know what? Then in all of his success, something happened. She didn't give up. She continually prays. She continually talks him into coming and hearing some word, hearing the word, hearing the word. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word. All right, I'm not missing it. This is right where we're at. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I did it today. I wrestled not against flesh and blood today and yesterday and Monday and Sunday and Saturday. I wrestled against it. Not flesh and blood, but against principalities. It's demonic and it's real. Listen to me. We got adults getting caught up in all of this worldwide web, and it is a web. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Brother Frank, you're doing a battle. You're fighting a battle against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, that can be on the mountains or that can be in the White House. That can be Gorbachev. That can be Putin. That can be the mayor of New York. America is in the battle of their life, and we better pay attention. But listen to me. It starts in the local church. It starts with Sister Margaret teaching the children. It starts with us working with the youth. It starts with baptizing them. It starts with, I watched a young man get married Sunday that I had dedicated when he was about that long. And he wanted me to go eat dinner with him and meet his wife, or his fiance at the time, he said, because he said, you've never really got to know her. I hadn't met her in my life. And you know what? It was a beautiful wedding. And he did that wedding without his dad there. His dad died young with dementia. And his mom, they put on the most beautiful wedding, and it was alcohol-free. We didn't have to mazel tov. We didn't, you know, all that mess. It was alcohol-free. They started off with prayer in their life. It started off with prayer in their life. That's what you do. The most intimate thing you can do, Brother Isaac, with your wife, is kneel down and pray right beside her. That's better than all that mess out there. That is. If you got to the place where you can't pray with your wife or your husband, be prepared to be brought down off your high horse, because none of us are too good for that. It's a blessing. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand, what? Stand. Stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about you in truth. It's easy to lie. It's easy to do the wrong thing. It's easy to not stay in the will of God. It's easy to be deceitful, to have deception in your heart. That's the most easy thing there is. And God hates all liars. All. He hates me when I lie. I've never lied. I have. And if you be honest, you might have once or twice in your lifetime. I'm not sure, but if you didn't, you didn't speak up. You omitted to speak up when it was time to speak up. Same. You withheld evidence. You withheld evidence. If you don't speak up, what'd you do? Dirty cop will withhold evidence. Dirty cop will not put a recorded video in a report. That's what a dirty cop will do. Preachers the same way. If we withhold from you, go owing no man. If we withhold from you what God wants us to give you, we're no better than dirty cop. I've known some. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about you in truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness. Are we righteous in ourselves? Sister Paula, are we righteous in ourselves? No way. As filthy rags. Praise God. As filthy rags. I'm hurrying. He said for us to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. One place he said, beautiful are the feet of them that preach this gospel, that share this gospel, that teach this gospel. Beautiful are the feet of them that testify of this gospel, that bring good glad tidings. So this man right here one time caught me outside of the, I was leaving. You remember? We talked. And he don't know how bad I needed that talk that day. He had no idea. He didn't omit to give me that. The Lord pricked his heart. He listened, and he spoke to me. Sometimes Sister Desiree says things that just, I mean, Sister Jennifer, their husbands will say things. Brother Chris will say something sometimes that'll just, I mean, he owed it to me. He didn't omit that. You ever omit to testify when the Lord pricks your heart to get up and tell them what I've done for you today, what I've done for you yesterday? Church leader, the one leading the service, get up here and just beg you. Anybody got a testimony? We ought to be knocking each other over to go first. We're still praying for Eddie. We're still praying for Eddie. We are. We need deliverance. We need strength and we need wisdom. Don't omit to give to them what you owe them. And he said for us to have our feet shod. And then he said, above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench all, what? All the fire darts of the wicked. The Lord keeps us. The devil uses people to throw darts at you. The devil uses church folks, I didn't say Christians, church folk to throw darts at you. He does. He uses anybody that will yield their members to him. I think about Larry and how he went through with him and Sister Bessie, the loss of Monty, and how they went through that and the just most horrible heartbreak there could be. And I think about back to my one time my son was being foolish, and I'm going to tell this because I owe it to you. My son was being foolish, and his wife called me, and he was in the bathtub, and he had a knife through his throat, and it was a sharp one, and he'd already cut himself enough to start leaking. And I knew that if they sent Verdigris Police Department there, Verdigris Police Department would have to kill him, because we don't fight with people with knives. We don't. They'd have to kill him because he wasn't talking him off the ledge. So I called the sergeant, and I said, go out there, do what you need to do to load him up and take him somewhere. So that meant go out there, tase him, punch him in the mouth, and take the knife away from him. Put him in handcuffs and sit with him at the hospital all night, and then take him somewhere. I'm not saying this to embarrass him. I'm talking about what God delivered me from that these people went through. My heart was dying. It was dying. And God gave me in that time the faith to know that it's going to be all right, because I had some grandchildren in that house. But thankfully, they were in the garage with Mom, and she was able to shelter them from that. That's a wonderful thing. So, wiles of the devil, breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation, feet shod with the gospel, the preparation of the gospel of truth. Wake up. Wake up. Above all, taking that shield that you may, and in the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. What is the helmet of salvation? Now, I could get a book and a study book, and I'm going to tell you what the helmet of salvation is to me. The helmet of salvation is my Lord and Savior helping me to cast down vain imaginations. That'll keep you righteous when you cast that down. I've never been tempted in my life. You're lying. If you haven't been tempted, he's already got you. If you haven't been tested, he's already got you. That's rough right there, I know, but it's the truth. I'm going through some stuff, and I'm facing some stuff, and I'm doing it with God. And tonight I'm putting on that helmet of salvation, and I'm not going to let that worry fret and cause me to fret and stew and simmer. And no, see, I'm going to put that on, and I'm going to get through everything. Verse 18. And we do it all the time. I think about Rosetta coming down here, praying over this pail. We'll call it a bucket, but it's a pail of prodigals. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. How? In the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for who? Now, there's a comma or a semicolon there, so that don't mean stop. But he said, and for me, that utterance, I'm talking about praying in the Holy Ghost, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, because he owes it to us, boldly, and make known the mysteries of the gospel. There's a comma. Verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Each and every one of us have a ministry. You have it right there in your home. It's got to start at home. Husbands, you're not the king of the castle, but you're the head of the house, and you're the priest in that home. We got a job to do as papaws and mamaws, nanas, dads, uncles, aunts. We got a job at church family. We got a job to do. Some of you see my grandkids acting up. You get their attention, set them down. You won't hurt my feelings. Their parents can get over it. You know what I'm saying? This is the house of God, and you train them up. And if they learn to set reverent at home, they'll do it right here. If they learn to respect mom and dad, they'll do it right here. If mom and dad respects the pastor, they'll do it themselves. Does that make sense? We got a job to do. We owe each and every one our best. I owe you my best. Sunday morning, the lesson, sometimes I feel so inadequate. I owe my best. I got an assignment. I got a job to do. I owe my best. Jennifer, when you're making cakes and you're praying over them, you owe your best. You see, we all got a job to do. We do. I love Jesus. Don't you love him tonight? Now, I'd like for Brandon, if he will, to come to the piano and not just play something, but sing a little something. Or maybe Sister Brown, whichever one sings, wants to sing. I want to hear us sing, and I want us to pray for just a little while, because we know not what we face outside these doors when we leave here. But God does. God does. Was God any better to me than he was anyone else today? I feel like he was, but in all reality, he's good to all of us, each and every one of us. Brother Chris, I don't think you have to fret about the job. I think that's just something you don't need to fret over. I do. I really do. It's a battle tonight. That's what we're in. We're in a battle. Church is different tonight. We're in a battle. We're tired tonight. Who made us tired? We're stressed tonight. Who made us stressed? It wasn't the Lord. And the Lord didn't make us tired. But this battle that's raging makes us tired. But I was going to ask Sister Brown to sing Fill My Cup. I think it would be a good time right now for if she would come and sing Fill My Cup. You musicians come back, and we're going to stand, and we're just going to worship the Lord for a few minutes, and then I'm going to ask you if you need prayer. And if you need prayer, we'll pray for you. And then I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray or just worship the Lord for a few minutes. How's that sound?